When I was a kid, for some odd reason, I had this obsession with writing letters to people. My parents thought it was kind of funny, and they would even help me with the hobby sometimes. With their assistance, I was able to write a letter to the Queen of England, to a famous wrestler I was really into, and last but not least, my favorite character at Disney World, Goofy. I still remember to this day being so excited when I found a postal address online for an area in Disney World where I could actually write a letter to him. In the envelope, I included a photo of my family saying that one day we would try to make it down to Florida to visit him, even though I really didn't expect to get a response. At that age, I figured he was so famous he wouldn't even take the time to write me back. However, believe it or not, several months later, I received a response from the character himself. It was written on old faded paper, and its envelope was oddly tied together with a piece of red yarn. All it said was, "See you real soon," with a photo of Goofy inside. It took years, but eventually we did finally plan a trip to go down and see him. It was a 6-hour drive from Atlanta and was brutally boring nearly the entire time. That was until we got onto Disney World property and passed under the beautifully colored overpass where Mickey and Minnie stand on both sides of the road, welcoming you in. I remember feeling at that point like the possibilities for the vacation were endless. Sadly, though, with endless possibilities, sometimes come terrible and unexpected outcomes. And with this trip, that rule definitely rang true. I still feel that before the events of that vacation, I never truly felt fear. Like actual terror. It just wasn't a thing in my life yet, and it changed me. Anyways, everything started after we went under that overpass. I remember we were surrounded on all sides by those long sweeping lawns that seem to go on for miles just before you enter Walt Disney World. My dad told me to open the window to get in some fresh air for my baby sister Hannah. So I rolled the window down and was quickly affronted by a putrid aroma of something dead nearby. I looked out into the trees beyond the grass trying to find a vulture or something, but nothing was in sight. I started to roll the window up, but froze when I finally saw something moving in the trees. It was a tall, lanky man dragging something through the woods. As the car drove past, I could see him more clearly and began to realize he wasn't just any man either. It was hard to tell, but his face looked mashed up and almost as if he had a tail. My stomach sank as he turned to me, lifted his hand, and gestured hello, slowly waving his fingers like a creepy circus clown. I screamed for my parents to look, but by the time they had turned, he was hidden again. I'll be honest with you, that scared the crap out of me. I didn't really have much choice but to try and push it out of my mind. I mean, I was finally at Disney World, and no matter what I said to my parents, they weren't buying it anyways. Can't say I really blame them. I did sort of start to forget about it, though, once we arrived at the Wilderness Lodge. That's the one surrounded by woods, but still on the lake with all the other resorts. We checked into our room and went to go grab a bite to eat afterwards. Our plan was then to take one of the ferries over to Magic Kingdom for the fireworks, which I was very excited about. We ate at some place called Trail's End or something like that, and my parents ended up talking to another big family that was attending a reunion there. My mom and dad talked to a middle-aged couple about stuff related to babies and Hannah, so I got kind of bored and started talking to their grandfather. He was kind of a strange, crotchety old man and didn't really seem like he wanted to be there. I ended up telling him what I'd seen on the way into Disney, though, and his eyes widened with terror.
"The cartoon man. He'll come for you."
The woman who was talking to my mom quickly took notice and did damage control. She put her arm around him and escorted him out of the restaurant as he continued to rant and rave. The husband perked up as if experienced with explaining this type of behavior. He gets a little loopy sometimes. Living on Disney property all these years, maybe he's had a bit too much fantasy in his life. He lived on property? I asked with genuine curiosity. Yep, about half of the year he rented one of those lots out on the campground, lived out of his RV. He used to love it, but sadly he had to move in with us last year due to his condition. My parents nodded and we all decided to head out after that. We ended up going to the fireworks show after all, which was the first part of the night where I somewhat started to forget what had happened. But that only lasted so long. We got back to our room and found it totally ransacked. Our suitcases were torn apart and stuff was strewn all over the place. There was also this saliva-like liquid covering everything. It was disgusting. We called the hotel security to come check it out, and due to the fact that Hannah's baby stuff was the only stuff that was really missing, they said that they thought raccoons were to blame. Seriously. They said that we had probably accidentally left the patio door open, considering it was slightly open when we returned. They also claimed that there was an increase in raccoon activity that week, too, which basically had my parents totally convinced at that point. So while they cleaned up our room, we went out to the dock area, where they decided to have a few drinks and joke with another family about how unlucky we were for being attacked by raccoons. Once again, I was bored though, so I started walking down the dock and eventually found myself in an area that was pretty much completely empty. I looked out over the vacant dark lake and noticed something in the distance floating on top of the water. It was a little makeshift raft, built from trash and old wooden stuff, with a man standing on top of it. He was rowing with this giant branch towards our resort. And as he approached, I could tell it was the same guy from the woods earlier. The cartoon man. I quickly ran to get my parents and brought them over to the spot where I had seen him. But it was too late. He had most likely hidden behind one of the little islands out there because the raft wasn't visible anymore. At that point, my parents were really starting to wonder about me and brought us back to the room so we could get some rest. Hours later, I found myself tossing and turning, desperately trying to sleep. A thunderstorm softly rumbling outside the room. I closed my eyes trying to sleep again when I heard a scratch on the window beside me. I looked over and, to my horror, hands covered in this animal fur with claws sewn onto its fingertips, slowly scratched down the glass. I screamed for my parents and they ran into my room. They must have spent 5 minutes consoling me there as I screamed and panicked. But that was when we heard a window shatter from the other room. With no hesitation, we all ran back to their room and saw that Hannah was missing from her crib. My mom started screaming and immediately ran for her phone to call the police. I took off behind Dad, who jumped out the window and ran into the woods after the man. He was way ahead of me and definitely seemed to be gaining on the man, as I realized we were running through these dilapidated, abandoned structures. I looked at a sign and saw it said River Country. At that moment, I heard a scream from my dad up ahead. Once I caught up to him, I found him sitting outside an entrance to a fake rock cavern. He was covering his neck and I could see that he was bleeding. A lot. I know he normally wouldn't have told me to do this, but he didn't just tell me. He begged for me to go in there and get her. He said I needed to be a man and step up. As a 13-year-old boy who often tried to impress his father, this was enough motivation for anyone to buck up and move on. Picking up a large rock I found sitting nearby, I stepped into the pitch-black cave. I started seeing empty suitcases with items strewn about everywhere, as if the man had been stealing luggage from the nearby resorts for years. Then I got to a cavern filled with flat-screen TVs, many of them plugged in and blasting old Disney cartoons. Unbelievably, over this racket, I heard Hannah crying from down the hall, so I went in her direction. In the next cavern was a large old work desk with a rocking chair and stacks of these envelopes on top of it. On closer examination, I discovered they were letters that had been sent from all around the country. However, one stuck out in particular. It was very old and was stuck in the wall with a knife. It had the return address 2473 Wood Acres, Atlanta, Georgia. My street address. It was the letter I had sent Goofy all those years before. I continued searching for the man for at least a half hour, but with all the winding caverns in that place and all the exits, there really was no telling where the man had gone. Then I started hearing the maniacal laughter coming from every which way. I was suddenly hit in the side of the head with a rock. Dazed and bleeding, I turned around and saw the man with this bizarre giant slingshot. I then lost consciousness. The police arrived and came down and got me out of the cave. An ambulance brought my dad and I to the hospital, where luckily he pulled through and I just had a minor concussion. My little sister Hannah, though, was never seen again. No matter how many subsequent searches the police have done, she still never turned up. And as far as the cartoon man goes, he hasn't been seen again either. Today I received a letter in the mail from an unknown sender. It was a picture of Hannah, and inside the envelope was a torn piece of paper with four words written on it. The words, "See you real soon."